Let's open with a word of prayer. Lord, thank you for the time we have here this morning. Thank you for your word and how it gives instruction for difficult times and difficult situations. And we pray that you would give us wisdom, especially relating to disciplining children. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. All right. So we are talking, so Ephesians 6:4 is kind of our theme verse. We'll probably get a few more people here as the child care gets sorted out. The verse is, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." And so that's basically our outline. Is week one, don't provoke them to anger. So for those of you who were in this room, you got the essay on irritability last week. For those, but I passed out probably another half dozen or so.
Yes, thank you for that.
When I saw parents who weren't in the class, I just kind of went ahead and said, "Here, this is for you. No offense." But we are going to talk this week about bringing them up in the discipline of the Lord. And next week, we're going to bring them up in the instruction of the Lord. So as we're moving on to discipline, I want to pause here for a moment and just talk about some of the different stages. I mean, most parenting books in general, Christian parenting books included, will, for helpful reasons, try to break up parenting to different stages. You know, and it might even provide like the outline for the book. One of the best known books on parenting, Shepherding a Child's Heart, does this. But you kind of see it a lot in different stages. And even books I've read about discipleship that also applied it to parents did the same thing. You have the early years, right? So this is toddlers, preschool. I mean, these are all kind of fuzzy starting and ending points. But this is this stage, the young stage, this is where children first need to learn to submit to authority and practice self-denial. The most right from the womb, right? We're all sinners. Right from the womb, we want our own way. And if we are not broken of that, if we do not submit ourselves to authority and to the Lord, that will continue our whole life, where we want our own way and all the sin that abounds from that. So, like, right from the beginning, children must be taught as soon as possible that they cannot have their own way. They are a sinner. They need to submit to authority. Yes, young child, you're submitting to your father and mother's authority, but it's not because there's anything so great or magnificent about us, but you are to submit to the Lord's authority, and how you're practicing right now is obedience to us. Stage two. So this would be kind of, again, these are all fuzzy lines, but think like the elementary school years. Children are no longer at home all the time. They may go to school. I mean, even if they're homeschooled, they're probably spending more time around other children. They're doing activities, sports teams, camps. If they go to a public or private school, they're spending, all those hours away from the parents. But this is where character, emphasis here is that the character is really starting to get built. Children, you know, they're away from their parents, and we start to see who they are. They're starting to show more of their personality. And we can apply those lessons about self-denial and submission to authority to so many different situations, to the situations on the ball field, the classroom, the children's church, all these different situations, we're applying that. So, we're teaching them self-control, kindness, helping others, trusting God during difficult circumstances. You know, they're going to start to have disappointments and frustrations more than just being hungry or tired. And we teach them to trust the Lord. And then the third stage, again, fuzzy time periods, but think of that as the teen years. Teen years, the stage where a young person, hopefully at this point, born again, but as we talked about last week, there's no legalistic formula. And it is, you know, that child, you know, we cannot control that child's heart. We have to trust the Lord and just act out of obedience to him. But hopefully if that child is born again, we can see them beginning to choose and practice wisdom and pleasing God in their own decisions. They're going to be making more independent decisions. Hopefully it's a little less about, you know, it's increasingly less about discipline and more about instruction. You know, you might call it coaching, but as they're making their own decisions and becoming more and more of their own person, sometimes in pretty big life ways, we're hoping to see them walk in wisdom. And if they're not, then there still needs to be some discipline as along with instruction, perhaps, to help keep them from destroying themselves. So, because again, there is that fleshly pull to please ourselves, our own way. And we hope to see as children grow in to be teenagers and young adults that they are practicing self-control and wisdom on their own. So we're breaking this down into discipline and instruction. Both are involved in parenting from beginning to end, but hopefully they look different as children get older, and it's less about one and a little more about the other. Again, hopefully, but every child is different. Every situation is different as they get older. So just to kind of keep those, and we'll try to give some different applications. Again, my children are 6 and under. My 2 older ones are kind of going from stage 1 to stage 2. And that's helpful for Courtney and I to think about, because it's easy to be like, oh, stepped out of line, spanking time. But it's like, okay, maybe some instruction, maybe handling things a little differently than we might have a year or 2 or 3. Is there still some corporal punishment? Yep. But it is starting to look different, and we're starting to think about it. In fact, we just recently decided to take a step back and in some couples devotions or whatever you want to call it, some time, just kind of doing some reading and praying, thinking through the issues about the next stage and what they're moving into. And of course, then we have one child who's like just kind of getting into the first stage. Some of you in this room have parents that are in various stages, maybe all the stages, maybe your kids have went through all the stages, maybe you have grandkids in these stages, and you can hopefully you can give us some testimony as well as pick up some things. So let's just talk for a minute about that word discipline there in Ephesians 6:4, because I think sometimes people will try to say, well, that word doesn't mean what it seems to mean or what some translations. I have known some parents, not like people that are particularly close to me, but I know parents, people who would call themselves Christians, who seem like good Christians in very most of the point, that like never want to tell their, they don't believe in telling their children no. Doesn't mean that it's always like a redirecting kind of thing. Oh, you don't want to be negative. I know plenty of people who would call themselves Christians who would go with kind of the spirit of the age when it comes to discipline. So the word there, discipline, in Ephesians 6:4, it has an idea of training and punishment, both in there. That word has that idea of both training children, training people, and disciplining, punishing. Like, there is no doubt that the word punish, that there's an idea of punishment there involved. And you see how the word is used broadly. Like, you did something wrong, now there's going to be punitive results from it is definitely part of that word. You cannot eliminate that. You cannot ignore that aspect. And that is just a part of parenting, as we'll see more. If you don't, according to God, if you don't have any kind of punishing involved, if you don't have discipline, you are just asking for the child's sinful nature to destroy them and you. This word, the word itself is not a very common word in the New Testament, but there is a passage where it is a common word, it is the center of the passage, and it directly applies, references, I should say, to what we are talking about. So let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Really the general section is verses 3 through 11. Verses 3 and 4, the audience is struggling against sin, which seems like a description of those who are antagonistic to Christ, in the parallel with verse 3. But in verse 5, again, I'll read it for the recording, but let's read verses 5 through 11 together. And you'll note either the noun discipline or the verb form of it appears in every verse. "And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined," talking about the earthly fathers, "for they disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it." And this goes, back. One thing I didn't state at the beginning, but there's two thoughts that I'm trying to weave in here every week, which is, number one, we're parenting for the most important day of our children's lives. And that is what day? The day they stand before God. And probably the best piece of advice I was ever given when Courtney was pregnant with our first was parent the way God parents you. And how does God parent? What is involved with God's parenting in this passage? What word? Discipline.
Chastening.
Yeah, the word chastening there is in verse 6, and it has a clear, like, corrective punishment idea, and that's parallel to discipline. It's like parallelism. Like, it's saying the same things two different ways, disciplining the one he loves and chastens the one he receives. So does God discipline us? Yes. Why does this passage say God disciplines us? Because he loves us. Now, one more question along these lines. Why would he do that if he loves us? I mean, people will say, I love my children. I couldn't discipline them. Why does it say God, why would God discipline us if he loves us?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Verses 10 and 11. It has that eternal benefit, that peaceful, that holiness, that peaceful fruit of righteousness.
Like you said, it was left to our sinful nature will destroy it.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot imagine not disciplining some of my children.
Mm-hmm. Somebody once asked me, how far is too far away to go? They're just trying to be prepared, like, too far away to go. Like, when you're, like, if you have a baby sleeping in the nursery, like, how far is, can you go outside? Can you go to the neighbor? And I'm like, well, make sure you can hear the smoke detector. That's a very accurate answer. But and before going on to talk about parenting, let's stop and appreciate how God handles us. He knows that disciplining us is painful for us, right? This is inspired scripture. This is the words of the Holy Spirit. He recognizes that it is painful. He knows that it is not easy, and then in our sin, the result is often going to be that we're going to attack and blame him. Anybody with children want to testify that their kids ever got angry back at them when they disciplined them? That ever happen? It happens when they're little. Does it keep happening when they're older? I think that whole, you know, I think a stumbling block for parents, and this is, again, easier to say when they're so young and they just change like that. I imagine it does get harder when they get older, but doing the right thing can come with consequences. Just like at work or in society, doing the right thing can get, you know, people angry at you. And I imagine that the same thing is true with if you have older children. It happens a lot when they're younger too. But, you know, it takes like 30 seconds for them to like change when they're four or three, their attitudes. But that doesn't happen when they're older. And we do this at work. We know that if somebody is not up to task, that action needs to be taken to, you know, improve. I think, you know, performance improvement plans, common corporate speak for, you know, somebody needs some fixing, some correction. But this is a common idea in various situations. So the parallel to our parenting, should you discipline? Everybody together now. Why should you discipline your children? Because we love them. Telling them that's why they're doing it in the moment, they may not believe it, but we're doing it because we love them. Why would your love discipline them? And you kind of already answered it, so go ahead again. So say it again. Why would a loving parent discipline the child?
Why would a loving parent discipline the child? To save them from themselves.
Yes. To save them from their own. So that they can share. The goal is for them to share in God's holiness, the peaceful fruit of righteousness, when we're all doing things God's way. Yes, sir. Yeah, if I was to sum up probably the rest of the 30 minutes of this lesson, that's probably that would be a very good summation, because that is so true. And that's kind of why we started on what we started last week. So thank you, Lee. Children know if you're disciplining them out of anger or out of empathy. Like, I'm punishing you because you annoyed me versus I'm punishing you because I know, I'm disciplining you because I know as a fellow sinner how dangerous your actions are. So thank you. So let's get into that. So why is discipline necessary? I just mentioned these verses just in case you want to write them down, but we've already been touching on this point. Proverbs 22:15 talks about how every child is a sinner from birth. So that's Proverbs 22:15. Proverbs 29:15 talks about how a lack of discipline is disastrous. This is required for the outcome that God desires from parenting. Discipline is necessary. Yes, social scientists will try to tell you, well, you know, children who are raised this way will have, you know, these characteristics and this level of education or earnings, and parents who children who are raised this way will have these other characteristics. God desires children to grow up to adults who will love Him and love others and not themselves. And discipline is one of the two tools, the general words we use, the other one being instruction, for how that happens. So let's just kind of break it down into what is unbiblical discipline and what is biblical discipline. Unbiblical discipline, and again, this just follows up right on what Lee said, it focuses on controlling the kids. If your goal is to just make them to stop annoying you, or, I mean, like, if somebody's doing something annoying, it's not wrong to ask them to stop, like, you know, pounding on the kitchen table. It's not wrong to stop them to ask, to ask them. But if you discipline them just for being kids, and that's a struggle for me, then you're not really training them to follow God. You're training them just to not annoy you. You're just training a certain kind of behavior. You're just, in a sense, training up a little Pharisee. Proverbs 14:17 says, "A man of quick temper acts foolishly, and a man of evil devices is hated." And I say, ouch, because it's like, if my kids look at me as a man with a quick temper or a person of evil devices, they're going to not like me. They're going to grow up to hate me. I don't want the kids to grow up to think Dad was angry, to think of me as angry. All of us could raise our hands to testify that we have failed in that way. And if it has been a problem, even if they are quite young or whether they are grown, it is never a bad idea to apologize, to confess. I mean, if there was another believer that you sinned against, that's what you should do for them. Even if it was years ago, it'd be good to try to reconcile that relationship. And in general, a lot of the things that I talked about being a peacemaker and reconciliation apply in a different manner, for sure, but those same principles will still apply here. The world calls spanking, they'll say, well, it's hitting a child. Well, if it's uncontrolled and out of anger just to intimidate them, you know, they could have a point. If we're just doing it out of anger, it's like, why? Because you can get away with it. Like, you can spank a little kid and get away with it in a way you can't treat somebody else just to intimidate them. If this is where God's design for a two-parent family with a mother and father who are each different people can really be helpful. I can testify there have been times where I have just, like, got hot under the collar, and I'm like, there's probably times I have sinfully let that vent, but there's also times where I've walked away. Like, I'm going to walk away, and Courtney has handled it. It's okay to laugh at me. You know, it is helpful. It is good for the children for two people to help each other in that way, like, you know, to step in. It's good for children to see that, to see how parents can work together to try to that in such ways. So there's a book in our church library, Heart of Anger, by Lou Priolo, I believe, Heart of Anger, and it's about helping angry children. But it has a lot of things that are applicable to adults, and it also, I think it has an entire chapter about how parents can make their children angry, talking about what we talked about last week. So, again, a lot of the same things from last week. Be careful about being really negative, always saying no or stop. Just in general, remember James 1:20. The anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Your anger will not produce God's result in your children. His grace is greater than your sin, and we all need that. but your anger is not God's tool to change your children at whatever age they are. I'll pause there real quick. See if anybody has any questions or testimonies or advice for me.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. I mean, it's tough as parenting. When should you, you know, there's wisdom in overlooking some things. And there's foolishness in overlooking too many things. So what's the line on that? And that's, again, where, you know, a godly couple can help each other and talk through things. And, you know, even if somebody doesn't have a Christian spouse, if they're still an engaged parent, there can still be some fruitful conversations there. And it's like fathers and mothers can both struggle with anger. Fathers and mothers can both struggle with indulging. So that's a really good testimony as well. Thank you for the flip side of that. Any others?
I can attest that there's not a moment in my house where someone should not be corrected at any given time. There's a number of them. And I talk about this with Jess, literally, I kind of mean that. Almost at any moment of the day, I can be correcting someone. And to your point, I want my kids to like me by the time they leave my house. So what's that balance? And the reality is, I've learned never, I wish I could say I've always followed this, I have not. But you correct the intentional acts of disobedience. Mm-hmm. The unintentional things, like they did the dishes, but they literally cleaned the dishes with a rag that was covered in butter. You know, they put it all away. There's other things to correct.
That sounds oddly specific.
Just take it out and put it back in and say, let's try again. You know, that doesn't need to be a discipline.
Mm-hmm.
But that's where I often have fallen short. Just like I said, they're annoying me, they're doing stuff. And eventually the Lord just kind of showed me, like, you need to correct the willful acts of disobedience, and you need to let everything else go.
Right. If the thing is we're correcting so that they do not destroy themselves with their sin, cleaning a dish with a butter rag isn't quite that. Should they be coached about that? They should, hopefully, because we're hoping they don't do that when they're 28. You know, my mother-in-law has a great way of putting things sometimes. You know, it's like when they, I don't know, maybe they have bad manners at a meal or something like this. She'll be like, look, they're not going to do that at their wedding. You know, if it's like they don't use a fork properly, it's like, you know, how much should we jump in and get involved and fix it? They're going to use a fork just fine at their wedding. And it's like seeing that big picture sometimes can help. What is biblical? Go ahead. Mm-hmm. Yep, I'm starting to see that now, you know. Got two different personalities, the 4 and the 6-year-old. Adam probably has like the whole, I don't know, whatever sociologists would talk about. He probably has one in every box. So biblical discipline. Biblical discipline is done for their benefit. Kids won't always get this, so we might need to explain it. This also can, by explaining things, it can help in our own minds make sure we're not doing it for selfish motives. You know, let's think when they're younger, and it's like, okay, everybody, it's time to go to church. Everybody gets ready. And, you know, 5 minutes later, you're getting ready to take everybody out to the van, and like one of the little kids hasn't done anything. And it's like, do you just, you know, discipline right there? Or you explain, you know, show them like, look, when you continue playing with the cars instead of getting ready, like your parents asked you, you're holding up our entire family. You know, help them see and understand. When they're little, it's like, might be like, but again, as they get older, hopefully they'll see themselves as part of the family and their responsibility. When they're older, you know, it's like, you know, and again, instead of just getting angry, like, what, you didn't do your homework again? You know, no video games for a week. you know, contrast it with, I'm going to require you to not play video, pardon whatever wordsmithing, you can put it much better yourself, especially when they're, if they're older. I notice you're not getting your homework done. So we're going to not do video games for a week so that you can focus on getting your homework done. Because getting your homework done is important for your education, but it's also important for you to develop a character that puts your responsibilities ahead of having fun. Like, and all of us who are adults know that's how life works, right? It's like you work and you parent and you cook and you clean and you fix things and you meet with people. And it's like, and then with that little bit left at the end of the day, maybe you can, like, you know, chill out, have a little, you know. And so they need to realize, like training them in that way. And if you can't justify it, if maybe that points out that you're just doing it from anger or selfishness and not, you know, not doing it from the right motivations. But also, doing discipline from a biblical perspective should show them their need for the Savior. It doesn't, it should, the end goal is not to help them feel like a terrible kid or feel guilty or feel ashamed or get you back in charge. The goal is for them to realize, I'm a sinner. I keep needing discipline because I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. And that isn't going to probably happen like the first time you have an in-depth conversation with them as like a preschooler. This is like the constant over and over, give it to them 1,000 times, maybe literally 1,000 times over the course of years. Help them understand they need God to change their heart. They need God's Spirit in them if they're going to change, if they want to really change. And it also reminds them that sin brings consequences. When they're young, painful consequences. And at any age, it's painful, but it just the kind of pain goes from a little bit more literal to a little bit more metaphorical. But at any age, whether you are 2 or 82, sin has painful consequences. Sin, the wages of sin is death. And it's important for us to help our children. And finally, under biblical discipline, yes, in the right time and the right way, it involves spanking. The world opposes this. Let me ask you something. Why do you think the world opposes it? All right, you read in parenting journals, sociological, medical journals, media reports, the experts. Why do you think that they... I mean, and there's probably more than one right answer here. Why do you think that they are so uniformly against spanking? God commands it. So it's their sinful heart naturally fights against his law. That's the heart of it. But you, does anybody want to give any other answers or flesh anything out or add anything? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. A wrong view of mankind and therefore children is definitely a play. Let me ask you something. How would you respond to a coworker or a friend or whoever that you would, you know, trust, you know, you would, you know, they know you spank, and they say, well, I read every medical journal I can find with an article on the topic says that you shouldn't spank. Okay, men's wisdom. But like, I mean, you know, I'm thankful for scientific research. You know, I don't have polio. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, I fly across, you know, I think, yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're looking for somebody who's like a certain kind of person. And that is different than what we as Christian parents are looking for. Like if you grow up and you're really self-indulgent and sinful, but you obey the law and make a lot of money, that's good enough. Shannon, did you? Yeah. Yeah. Source of authority. I mean, these are all great answers. The source of authority. Yeah. How can you get the right result from a wrong starting point? And one thing I would point out, and one is that, okay, so let's say you're a scientist and you do the research, you know, you're a sociologist, let's say, and you call it scientist, behavioral scientist is the term they would use. I'm using their term. And you do an article and it says clearly that spanking children is the best way. And you submit that article for publication. What do you think is going to happen? Yeah, it's right in. What in the what's the term my mom would call the circular file cabinet, the trash can?
You talk about sociology, they do studies and they talk to kids, mm-hmm. or they mm-hmm. talk to people who've been subject to discipline. And what do you think the reaction mm-hmm. would be? I hate it. It makes me feel bad.
Yeah.
It makes me sad. It hurts my self-esteem. And so the sociologists think that's all bad.
Yeah.
And then that's the result of their studies that, you know, spanking equals bad results.
Yeah. It also doesn't differentiate between good and bad forms of discipline. I mean, if you read, and I would encourage any young parents to read, like periodically read Christian books on this topic, parenting in general, discipline included, and they will probably spend more time warning about disciplining out of anger than even like, you know, discussing, because like the scriptural support is clear. So you know, they'll give times of warning. Like, because if you do it out of anger, it's worse. Like, it's better not to discipline than to do it out of anger.
Most surveys are justifying
frequency. Exactly. Exactly. That's exactly. So I'll put down two verses. I'll give you two references here to keep moving. But Proverbs 23, verses 13 and 14. And so Proverbs 23, verses 13 and 14, and then also Proverbs 13, 24. And that's the one that it talks about, you know, not, you know, sparing the rod is hating your children. And we know from earlier, like, why loving your children involves it. So, and just to be clear, you know, I just double-checked on this, you know, I was kind of looking in some commentaries in the Hebrew and before looking, like, it is clear that, like, the rod is, like, it's referencing, like, a stick. And the verb form of it is talking about striking. Like, this isn't, like, the language is clear. It, like, our, I mean, different cultures can, you know, do things slightly different ways and have different tools and techniques. But I think it is clear that what we would call spanking is, you know, our equivalent to what Proverbs calls the rod. Like, if you're wondering, well, is what he's talking about that there what I'm being instructed to do as a Christian parent? I think the answer is clearly yes. You know, with somebody 3,000 years ago, would it be exactly the same? But that idea of corporal punishment in that way is as old as time. If people were not tempted to skip it, it would not have to be in, these verses wouldn't have to be in Proverbs. So even 3,000 years ago, parents were tempted to just give in to their children's foolishness and wickedness and skip that. But it is God's way to drive foolishness from our children. So, you know, as we kind of come to the conclusion here, discipline looks different at different ages. So let's go back to those stages of parenting. So when they're very young, again, that goal is to train them to submit to authority. We discipline specifically in that age for direct disobedience. And it can start quite young. Probably before they're even talking and walking, they can express, no, I'm not listening to you, mom or dad. I want to do my own thing. And again, you won't discipline like a 1-year-old the same way you'll discipline a 4-year-old, who you'll discipline differently than a 10-year-old, which is different than a 16-year-old. But right from the beginning, we need to be training children, no, you're under authority, you can't have your own way. And specifically when they're young, it's mostly about direct disobedience. Spanking works great in those years because, first of all, they understand that. It's impactful. But also, it brings a quick resolution. Like, you can't have a, like, okay, you know, little Johnny, you broke something, so now you need to repair it. Or, you know, that's not going to work on a small child. Like, you need a kind of punishment that works quickly and directly. And spanking is great for that. As they get older, and we're talking more about building character, you know, it's like, well, you're not directly disobeying your parents, but also, you know, and this is an art, an illustration that Tripp would use. Like, so mom is like, there's people coming over for dinner, and the mother is like frantically running around in the kitchen doing a million things while like 6, 8, 10-year-old kids are in the next room playing like Wii bowling, right? Because this illustration was from like 12 years ago. So, and some parents are like, well, that's great. They're not doing anything wrong, but what should those kids be doing? They should be helping. So again, you're training them. You need to be serving. You need to be denying yourself. You need to be working. You're going to start disciplining for things like unkindness, laziness, anger, various kinds of selfishness. Children in this range, spanking may still be useful, especially for direct disobedience, but you're probably going to start bringing in other kinds of punishment. I mean, I'm kind of thinking in those terms. You know, Courtney and I will be like, oh, this is, they're definitely at wrong, so we're going to spank, right? And sometimes the answer is yes, but now sometimes it's like, maybe it should be handled in a little bit of a different way sometimes. Restitution. You know, you broke that, you need to spend your money to replace it, or you broke that, you need to fix it. Natural consequences. You made this mess, so instead of having fun, now you're going to clean it up. Loss of privileges as they start to have their own personality, enjoy their own things, doing their own things, kind of loss of privileges. And the goal is, again, to teach them that sin has consequences so that they don't grow up to just please themselves. The goal is, along with scriptural instruction that we'll talk about next week, to start building this Christian character where they grow up to be a person who serves others and not just pleases themselves. And then as teenagers, the goal is to take this person who has hopefully learned submissiveness to authority and hopefully learned self-control and make them useful to God and others. Discipline is going to be more required when they're using that increasing freedom to please themselves instead of serving others, serving God and serving others. There's less discipline and more, you know, coaching, but when young people are using their freedom and their greater autonomy and their greater knowledge to please themselves and go down a self-destructive path, they still need to be, you know, kind of arrested, hopefully not literally, but arrested from that path and brought back with corrective discipline to the right way. I just want to pause there for any questions before I'll just have one final thing. Real quick, three ingredients for good discipline at any age. Three ingredients, because I mean, first of all, keep it private. This goes back to things about church discipline, things we talked about biblical reconciliation and, you know, confronting a brother who's caught in sin. But whether you are spanking a 4-year-old, taking away video games from a 10-year-old, or taking away the car keys from a 17-year-old, it should be as much as possible private. It's not for our Facebook feeds, and it is not for gossiping with friends, and it is not to make an example out of them in front of other people so they'll never do that again. We should seek to keep it as much as possible private. Second of all, focus on discipleship. Now, if you look in, you know, I looked in like Shepherding a Child's Heart, and it had an 8-step process to spanking, as if in that moment I can think of that many steps. You know, and I saw, you know, another child speaker had a 6-step process. Another one had a 4-step process. I'm like, now you're getting in range, I can remember that. whatever your process, just like have a discipleship focus to it. What I mean by is pray during it. Oh, you have to pray before or after the discipline. Either one is better than none. Use scripture. Focus on their heart. When you did that, were you pleasing God or were you pleasing yourself? So whatever your process, whatever you're doing, this is about God's agenda, not ours. So we should have a discipleship focus. When we practice it when they're young, it'll be easier when they're older because it'll just be natural. We've already practiced it. We've already been praying with them. You know, I imagine it's very awkward to just start praying for the first time with like a 15-year-old. But if you've been doing it a lot over the years, even if they're not walking with the Lord and they're not into it, if they see that that's your heart, you should still do it. Show them why you're doing it and the goal. And then one final thing I would include is show them how you're trying to obey God in this. When they're young, it can be, the Bible says, children obey your parents. You disobeyed mommy and daddy. The Bible says, when you're disobedient, I'm to punish you. Should I obey God or disobey God? You'll get to their conscience a little bit there as well. When they're older, the conversation will look different, but still, when they're older, they should see that you're not just doing this because you're angry at them or because, you know, you want peace and quiet or this. You're doing it because you want the household to serve the Lord, and so you have to punish them in order to train them to do what's right. We serve the Lord here, we obey the Lord, and you're not walking in that direction. So I have to punish you. I have to discipline you. I have to correct you. So whatever form it takes, whatever age the child is, it's an act of obedience and faith. This helps keep us, we shouldn't try to squirm out of this. Obedience to what God has commanded, even if it is not culturally popular, especially if it's not culturally popular, is walking by faith and not by sight. Parenting God's way will produce God's fruit, and that is our goal. Let's pray. Lord, help us to do what is right, even when it's hard. And certainly disciplining in parenting is an area where it is not always easy to do what is right or not in the right manner or with the right attitude. Forgive us, Lord. May your grace be greater than our sin against our children. And may your grace be greater than their own sinful hearts. We know you are a God of unlimited grace. Forgive us, and we ask that you would regenerate our children and our grandchildren, and may we live as examples of those who love and serve you. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.